Roger Goodell, the commissioner, at the podium.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have traded the 7th pick to the Buffalo Bills. With the 7th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen, quarterback, Wyoming.
Tre'Davious White, defensive back, LSU.
Jermaine Edmonds, linebacker, Virginia Tech.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Thursday to you. It is opening day in Major League Baseball, and I'll admit that I am a New York Mets fan, so not sure where you guys stand on that. Probably a lot of Mets fans listening, probably a lot of Yankees fans listening, probably a lot of Red Sox fans listening, but I won't spend too much time talking about baseball, but I am kind of excited for the baseball season. I love having it on in the background. I'm in my office all day long, watching film, writing articles, recording podcasts. So I'm excited to be able to have baseball on in the background, and hopefully the New York Mets can make a run here at the National League East, which looks to be a very competitive division this year. So I'm excited. Before I get into the major show concept today, wanted to get into a little bit of news that came out yesterday. The Bills did officially release running back Chris Ivory. This is somewhat expected after the Bills signed Frank Gore to a contract and already had LeSean McCoy in the mix. And you know, you kind of wonder what Chris Ivory's role would have been if he wasn't released. And I think this gives him a chance to maybe sign on with another team and not necessarily be the third running back behind Ivory and, or excuse me, behind Gore and McCoy. So it's good for Ivory. Obviously for the Bills, it clears up over $2 million in cap space. And so the Bills signed Frank Gore for less money than they were going to pay Chris Ivory. And you guys have heard me rave about the Frank Gore signing. So it makes a lot of sense. It also kind of opens the door for, I think, one of the Bills' 10 draft picks to be used on a running back. You can stash one there as RB3. I mean, what an opportunity for that young running back to have a chance to learn behind Frank Gore and LeSean McCoy for their rookie season in the NFL. I don't think it gets any better than that. And so I do like the opportunity now that the Bills have with that roster spot kind of being available to bring in a younger, more exciting piece through the draft, hopefully on day three. Obviously, Keith Ford, Marcus Murphy are a part of that mix, but I'd expect, you know, that third running back to be potentially a draft pick, which the Bills haven't drafted in the last 2 years. There's not been any running backs drafted by the Bills, so that's probably going to change this year. I want to thank everyone for how outstanding your submissions were for Twitter Tuesday this past week. Very popular show. I thought you guys brought some awesome topics to the table, so continue to do that. Hit me up on Twitter at TheJoeMarino, and please don't forget the hashtag Twitter Tuesday. That helps me keep track of them all. And then when I go and pull them every week, you know, it's an easy way for me to search and make sure I get them all. Also wanted to thank Ryan Talbot for his contributions to yesterday's show, Water Cooler Wednesday. Thought he was terrific and really brought a lot of good information. So if you skip that podcast, don't go back and listen to it. Ryan was outstanding. We got into some really good discussions about the offensive line, different connections to prospects, whether or not the Bills would actually use the number 9 pick in the draft on a tight end, and a whole lot more. So really enjoyed that with Ryan, and we'll get another outstanding guest hopefully lined up for next week. So as always, if you have suggestions or guests that you'd like me to bring on, hit me up, tag them on Twitter, let them know that you want them on the podcast, and we'll see if we can work it out. All right. So the idea today is I want to talk about your nightmare scenarios for the first round regarding the Buffalo Bills and who you do not want them to take. And I put out a tweet earlier in the week and I solicited your feedback, and I said, who is the realistic player that the Bills could take at number 9 overall that you would consider to be a nightmare? And there was a ton of responses, I think near 100 or so different responses that came through. And so I tracked them all, and I want to touch on each and every one of them. I've condensed it, right? So, I mean, 11 different people said one response, or we'll talk about it one time. So we've got several different ones to get to here. And I'm excited because a lot of these I agree with, a lot of them I don't. And so I want to kind of give my perspective on your nightmare scenarios. You've heard me talk for weeks now about what I want the Bills to do. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to kind of shift gears and talk about what you don't want them to do. So let's do that. Now, we'll go from top to bottom in terms of most popular responses, and then for the handful of responses that only had, you know, one or two people say that. So the first one, the one that you guys definitely don't want, 11 people replied with this and said, we don't want DK Metcalf, the wide receiver from Ole Miss, which is curious to me. I'm not sure if that's about need. You're satisfied with what the Bills have done with the wide receivers and free agency and what's already on the roster with Zay Jones and Robert Foster, and you want the Bills to go elsewhere, or if you just have a problem with DK Metcalf. I can get behind maybe thinking that the Bills would be better served investing elsewhere, but I love DK Metcalf. I think he has the highest ceiling of any offensive prospect in this year's class. He's really talented in terms of his physical upside, rare size, mobility, and strength, outstanding speed. He is a problem for cornerbacks. His power and his speed on a linear plane is just too much for these guys to hang with. And so you think about being able to win vertically and have a quarterback like Josh Allen that can rip it down the field, a guy that if you play him in press coverage, I mean, he's very detailed and nuanced in his ability to get off and beat press coverage cleanly and really set up that natural leverage right away in his route stems. So, like, I love what DK Metcalf can be in at the next level. And I know there's some concerns with his agility times at the combine, which there's no way around it. They were very poor. But the reality is the way that Mike Evans wins is different than the way Cole Beasley wins. And the way that Julio Jones wins is very different than Julian Edelman. And so there's all different sizes and shapes and skill sets for receivers. But if you get DK on the linear plane and let him just be fast and physical, there's not anybody in the NFL that can match up with him. So if you're just down on the position, I can get behind that. But DK is a rare talent. Now, if you want to get me a little concerned with DK, talk about the injuries. Two of the last three seasons, he's had a season-ending injury, a foot in 2016 and in 2018, the neck injury. Now, I mean, by all indications, he's healthy. I mean, certainly looked like a healthy man at the combine. But, you know, you don't like to see that. And he's got a lot to learn in terms of what Ole Miss put on his plate as a route runner to what he's going to be asked to do at the next level. So, yeah, there's evolution needed there. And that's true for, like, every prospect because they're going to the NFL. And what they're asked to do in college is always a little bit different. But I think in terms of value, DK will probably be a top five or six player on my board, and I think that he'd be well worth the number nine pick, unless you want to just talk about it being a positional thing or you're concerned with the injuries. So that's the number one response that you guys gave me, which I think I gave some decent counterpoints there. The number two guy that people responded with 10 replies was Rashawn Gary from Michigan, the defensive end over there. And I agree with you. I would not like for the Bills to use the number nine pick or any first round pick on Rashawn Gary. I think he's a guy that underachieved at Michigan based on his expectations as a very, very highly touted recruit. And I don't think he lived up to that in any way, shape, or form. And for a guy that has his physical upside that we saw at the combine, I don't think he played to that on tape. I think he has a lot of work to do in terms of learning how to win with his hands. And I don't think he's super flexible in terms of having that bend to consistently work around the outside hip of an offensive tackle. And so I like him as a versatile guy, a guy that maybe you can play inside on some rushdowns and give you an edge setter. And he has some really high peaks on film. But for me, the inconsistency on film, being that underachiever, having some restrictions, I wouldn't like that at all. So I'm with you there. Rashawn Gary at number nine is not something that would get me excited at all. The whole thing with him also kind of creating his own sports agency is interesting to me. Like, I'm not sure that that's a big red flag, but it does speak to, you know, him being a guy that's really can, you know, has another interest, and not that that's a problem, but how would the Bills perceive that? Would that be something they would look at positively? I think it's okay. Like, to me, these guys have, you know, one lifetime here to maximize themselves and brand themselves and make money. And so I certainly respect what he's doing there. I just wonder how the Bills would perceive that. That's actually something I'd love to hear Brandon Bean speak on if somebody will ask him that. Number three, there's actually a tie for number three. There's two with seven different replies. One of them is any secondary. Seven people said any secondary. We don't want any defensive backs whatsoever. And I agree with you. First of all, I don't think there's going to be any defensive backs worth the number nine pick in this year's class. So that's to me, that's the biggest thing, is that there's nobody worth that high of a pick. And then I also believe that the Bills are pretty much set in the secondary, safety and cornerback. You know, I think at some point they'll probably add a cornerback, which makes sense because you have Trey White and then you have Levi Wallace, who, you know, I'm happy with those two. But then you brought in EJ Gaines and Kevin Johnson, who both have pretty extensive injury histories. And so, you know, if you get another guy to be a younger guy to develop at some point in the draft and make sure that you are continuing to add to that mix, because counting on Kevin Johnson and EJ Gaines to be healthy is not something that they've proven able to do. So I don't hate the idea of adding a corner, but my goodness, at number nine, that seems a very unnecessary. All right. Also, seven of you said Montez Sweat, the edge rusher from Mississippi State. I wouldn't love Montez Sweat. I really wouldn't. I think he's definitely in the mix. I think that's a very realistic option for the Bills. He's a senior. He was at the Senior Bowl. He's a prototype in terms of size and length, and he's productive. So he's had two really good seasons in the SEC. So I think all of those reasons make him in play. But for me, a guy that tests like he did, you know, the fastest 40-yard dash a defensive lineman's ever had at the NFL Scouting Combine, you don't necessarily see that all the time on tape. And I think that there's definitely some room for technical growth there, but the same things I talked about with Rashawn Gary, with him being a little tight, a guy that doesn't necessarily always turn corners very smoothly and have that bend that you're looking for, sometimes requires some extra steps to really get around that outside hip. You know, I do think that's going to be something that's going to limit him a little bit. So, you know, I get the size, I get the production is really exciting, but, you know, I think there's some restrictions there as well. And so there's other edge rushers that I like more that I think would potentially be there if the Bills wanted to go edge rusher. I think it's likely. I would like it a lot more than Rashawn Gary, but I wouldn't love Montez Sweat there either. Obviously, there's some discomfort with the heart situation where that was flagged at the combine. Now, keep in mind, he was flagged and he was allowed to participate. So this isn't a Maurice Hurst situation, a guy last year who everyone believed was a first round defensive tackle that had the heart thing get flagged. He got sent home and then he got drafted in the fifth round by the Raiders. So I don't think we're dealing with that type of a situation. Star Lotulelei, right, the Bills defensive tackle, was flagged for a heart thing at the combine. He went up being a first round pick and then signed a $50 million deal with the Bills. So obviously not every heart issue is a concern. Right. I mean, I know that's kind of crazy. Any kind of type of heart issue should be a major concern, but they're not all equal in terms of how impactful it is to their draft stock. And obviously the real concern of their well-being and how that pertains to playing football. All right. So the next one here is Greedy Williams. Six of you said we don't want Greedy Williams, the cornerback from LSU. I agree with you. Again, I don't think he's worth the number nine pick. I love his physical upside. I think this is a guy that has all the traits you're looking for in a top-tier corner at the next level. He's capable of being sticky in man coverage. He's good in press. He's got ball skills. But the reality with Greedy is that there's two major red flags to me on film. First of all, he's very selective with tackling. When he wants to tackle, he can tackle. But he makes his share of business decisions, and there are times he just looks flat-out timid. And I don't think that's something the Bills will like at all. I think that they very much value corners and their ability to tackle. And then number two, he just doesn't finish reps. There's times where he just stops, you know, he pulls up and allows some late separation. Maybe he thought that he was done covering on a particular play and he's not, and the play gets extended and the ball gets completed. And you saw that for 2 years with Greedy. So, you know, some of those effort concerns, some of that timidness to contact, I wouldn't like that at all. And so, you know, I don't think the Bills will draft him, but I do think it's realistic for him to be part of this discussion. But I think that nightmare is one that we can probably put to side, hopefully. Before we continue, guys, remember to subscribe to this show. You can subscribe and make sure you don't miss any of these daily episodes of the Locked On Bills podcast by downloading the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Bills. Be right back after this to talk about more of your nightmares. All right, so we've got a few more to get to. Four of you said any running back. You do not want a first-round running back, and amen, I am with you. I do not want a first-round running back either. I like Josh Jacobs. I think he's the best back in the class. I would not take him at number nine. Miles Sanders, I think, is the second-best back in the class. I would not take him at number nine. I wouldn't take any running back in the first round, let alone number nine overall. I get the reason why you would think it's a nightmare possibility, because the Bills have two 30-plus-year-old running backs on expiring contracts. So there's a need here for the Bills to add youth to that position. I don't know that. I think it will happen. I think they'll draft a running back at some point this year for the first time in a while, but I don't think it's going to come in the first round. But I do think it's realistic because of the need, and I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. I'd be surprised. Three of you said Brian Burns, the Florida State edge rusher, a couple of references to Aaron Maben, which I guess is because they're both lean. Brian Burns checked in at 249 to the combine, and he tested insanely well for that size. And he bulked up a bit. I know that he was listed around 230. And so I know that's lean and that's light, and that's not something that people like. And I certainly like Burns upside in a 3-4 better than I do in a 4-3 defense. But I will say this, I think Brian Burns is the best pass rusher in the class. He's super nuanced with his approach, with his repertoire of pass rush moves, with his vision to read the set of the offensive tackle and exploit it where it's most vulnerable. His combinations, his bend, his length, his burst. I mean, he's got everything. He's got everything you can ever want. He dominated Power 5 competition over the last year and a half for Florida State. So I love him as a prospect. He'll be very high on my board. He'll definitely be a top 7 player for me in this year's class. Would love him at number 9. I don't know that he's the right fit. I don't know that the Bills will like him because he's not a prototype and he is a little bit lean. And I think they like prototypes with their high picks. So that concerns me a little bit about him being a fit. You know, look, I think in a lot of ways he's the Derwin James of edge defenders because he can do so many different things. I think he can rush, but then I think he can also play in space. And so, you know, you saw that at the combine, how fluid he was, how quick he was in his pedal, how natural he was covering ground. And he just glides laterally. He glides in every direction. He's long, and he even made some plays in the football at the combine where he showed that he's just a natural athlete. So I think he can do so many different things. I'd be interested in getting him. I don't know that he's going to be a real option for the Bills based on him not being anywhere near a prototype for a 4-3 defense. The next one that you guys said, three of you said Noah Fant, the tight end from Iowa. I mean, we've talked a lot about tight end, a lot yesterday about that possibility at number 9. Fant is very dynamic. He's very explosive in terms of his receiving ability. I mean, he would provide Josh Allen a legit seam buster, a guy that can stress that middle of the field. He's explosive. He can win after the catch. I mean, like, there's an exciting skill set there. So for me, I don't hate the idea of Fant at number 9. I don't know. I don't know if he'll be a target for the Bills. Like, I don't know. It seems odd to me that would be their choice. I think he's obviously a little bit limited as a blocker, but I think that if you're looking for an X factor for your offense, I mean, you get that in Noah Fant. So I don't know if I'd love it. I don't know if I'd hate it. I think it's somewhat realistic, but I would understand it if that was the pick. All right, so now we kind of ripped through the rest of these kind of rapid fire. You guys, these are all like one person said these options. So we'll get to them very quickly. The first one was Dwayne Haskins. And it was funny because you said, and he's the quarterback from Ohio State, if you're not familiar. The person said he'd be healthy for competition. And you know how the Bills have just been crazy about adding guys to the roster to create competition. Well, I mean, what? I would be very surprised, and I think that's more of a joke than anything, but somebody said it, so I wanted to deal with it. I don't think the Bills are in the market for a quarterback at any point in this year's draft. And then someone else also said Drew Lock, the quarterback from Missouri, to provide that 1-2 QB punch. No thanks. I don't think that'll happen either. Somebody said Phil Housley, Sabres coach. I'm not a big Sabres guy. I follow them loosely, and obviously the season's been disappointing. TJ Hockenson, tight end from Iowa. We talked a lot about that possibility yesterday, and I think that he would be a good addition to the offense. He'll be probably a top 10 or 12 player for me in the class, so I wouldn't hate the value. The positional value comes into play, but if that's what the missing link is going to be for this offense, to give Josh that real security blanket as a tight end, but also a dynamic guy, I think a guy that I think can be a star in the NFL, I don't think we'll ever question it if it works out. I think that there will be some skeptics if the Bills draft a tight end in the top 10. Somebody said Hollywood Brown. I mean, I think I'd be really surprised. I mean, he's so small. He's like 166 pounds, and he has that Liz Frank injury. So I think with the additions of John Brown and already having Robert Foster, you kind of have your guys that can stretch the field, and he'd be less of a possibility. But, I mean, even with that Liz Frank injury, you know, I think that really kind of pushes him out of the first-round conversation, in my view, especially the top 10 conversation. Somebody said any offensive tackle not named Juwan Taylor. Don't hate it. I would be happy with Juwan Taylor because I think he's the best offensive lineman in the class, but I'm not super high on the rest of them. I like Jonah Williams, but I do think that there's some concern there with how he's going to have to relearn how to use his hands so that he doesn't get outreached so frequently. And I don't think his film's anywhere near Juwan Taylor. So I guess I, you know, given the investments made in the offensive line, I think it really set the Bills up to go defensive line. And if they did go offensive line, I would understand it if it was Juwan Taylor. So that's kind of my line of thinking there with you. Not sure it'd be a nightmare if the Bills drafted Jonah Williams, but any other offensive tackle that's not Jonah Williams or Juwan Taylor, that would not be cool to me. Somebody said any wide receiver. I guess you're satisfied with what the Bills have done there and don't believe in the top targets in this year's class. Andre Dillard was something that somebody said. He's an offensive tackle from Washington. I mean, he's super smooth footwork and really profiles well as a pass blocker in the NFL. But, you know, I think the Bills have made a concerted effort to get guys with an edge, guys that are physical, that have that mentality to move bodies. And I think that you don't get that at all in Andre Dillard. So I think you can ease your nightmare there with Andre Dillard. A few more here. Somebody said Byron Murphy, the Washington cornerback. I think he's the best corner in this year's class. And I think that if there was one that the Bills would take at number nine, that would be the best case scenario if they took a corner. But as you know, I'm not super high on the idea of even taking a corner in the first round. Byron would be the one. But I think that he tested pretty average, and he's not very big. And so I think that kind of pushed him down. Like Denzel Ward's not very big, and he was a top five pick last year, but he was a really good athlete. So I think that where maybe Byron slides a little bit is because he's that combination of modest size and modest athletic ability. Three more. Somebody said Jalen Ferguson, that edge rusher from Louisiana Tech. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't. I don't think he's a first-round prospect. I think that, you know, his agilities were just awful. I mean, the over 8-second three-cone, horrible short shuttle. I mean, I think he's a fit for a 4-3 defense, but he's for those schemes like what you see from the Patriots and the Lions, where they really just want to suffocate the pocket, don't necessarily want guys that can really get around blocks. They just want to kind of collapse it and keep the pocket, keep the pocket moving and closing in on the quarterback. I think he'd be a fit because I think he's really strong and he converts speed to power well, and he has actually good hand technique, but he's so tight. It looks like his ankles are screwed on. Like, I don't think he gives you any flexibility. So I don't know. I don't think he's a first round prospect at all. Then somebody said any defensive end. Why not, man? Why don't you want a defensive end? That's a huge need for the Bills. The Bills need edge rushers. Right now, outside of Jerry Hughes, there's nothing in terms of getting consistent pass rush. And you're wasting Jerry Hughes' pass rush because you're not getting any rush from the other side. So, I mean, I'm sick of Jerry Hughes being the only guy that can beat a block, and the only edge rusher under contract beyond this year is Trent Murphy. So you're not going to be able to rebuild an entire arsenal of edge rushers in 1 year if you don't address it in the draft with a high pick. So, like, I'm behind the edge rusher. Maybe you're just not excited about Rashawn Gary or Montez Sweat, and I'm not either. So those would be options that wouldn't be great for me. But if the Bills could get, like, a Josh Allen, the edge rusher from Kentucky, if he were to slide somehow, or Brian Burns, you heard me talk about him. I mean, I'm for the edge rusher position. And then somebody said any offensive lineman. Evidently, you believe the investments have been made, and there's plenty of competition, which I tend to agree with you, but I could get behind Jawan Taylor. So there you have it. A lot of different answers given. Hopefully I've eased some of your concerns. Some of you guys, I flat out agree with you. But let me know what you guys think. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know if you change your mind or how this podcast affected your thinking. Hit me up at the Joe Marino on Twitter. Again, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. Would love a 5-star review and a rating. And tell a friend, retweet the podcast. Really appreciate anything that you can do to help me build this show. It's been awesome. The numbers are getting higher and higher every week, and really have enjoyed engaging with you guys more and more. So excited about what we're building, and we've got a lot to talk about here, so we'll keep doing it for you. Thanks as always for listening to the Locked On Bills podcast, and I'll be back again for you tomorrow.